I believe we are in a stage that we are moving towards where antimicrobial resistance is moving from clinical side towards more towards a concern that is more for broader production and sustainability issue. So I think based on that, this is not only a problem for animal production, it's a problem for public health. And that's why we know that antibiotics resistance is issue is becoming bigger and bigger. So we want to see some alternative strategies that would help to reduce that burden.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. The Poultry Science Association is dedicated to advancing poultry science worldwide. Learn more at poultryscience.org. Anatox, partnering with the world's food producers to develop and deliver innovative programs to efficiently produce safer food. Kemen invites you to optimize poultry health and nutrition. Dive in at kemen.com/poultry. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, where we discuss the latest in poultry nutrition research and industry trends in approximately 10 minutes. My name is Sam Rochel. I'm a co-host of the show and associate professor of poultry nutrition at Auburn University. And today I'm joined by a PhD student nearing the end of her program at Purdue University, a microbiologist by training, Ikra Nazir, who is going to talk to us a little bit about antimicrobial resistance in poultry, the implications and some potential solutions around this. So, Ikra, very nice to talk with you today and excited to learn about your work.
Hey, Sam, thanks very much for having me on your podcast today. So I'm really excited to talk about some antimicrobial resistance solutions because I believe we are in a stage that we are moving towards where antimicrobial resistance is moving from clinical side towards more towards a concern that is more for broader production and sustainability issue. So I think based on that, this is not only a problem for animal production, it's a problem for public health. And that's why we know that antibiotics resistance is issue is becoming bigger and bigger. So we want to see some alternative strategies that would help to reduce that burden. So working on that issue, our lab actually focused on bacteriophages that are fascinating, that are viruses specifically kill the targeted pathogen, which is a very good thing because if we compare it with antibiotics, the problem with antibiotic resistance is that it is affecting other pathogens too, or other bacteria too, and those bacteria could be beneficial, for example, the gut bacteria. So if we take antibiotics, and that could affect the beneficial microbial community too. So that's why the good thing about bacteriophages are they are highly specific. And we developed two bacteriophages cocktail, which is the cocktail is like a mixture of 3 to 4 bacteriophages that target only a specific pathogen.
Ready for more sustainable poultry production? New data suggests that decreasing bacterial loads in feed using Termin 8 supports enteric health, leading to improved performance. Gut health is more than a gut instinct. Learn more today at www.anatox.com.
Yeah, very nice. And how are those delivered in general, just for the audience? How are bacteriophages generally administered?
It could be through feed or water in poultry. It could be through oral gavage during testing. So what we did, we developed this bacteriophages cocktail and we administered, or you can say like we gave it to chickens when we did animal trial for their growth performance, because growth performance is, of course, very important aspect for producers. They want like efficient production, and we wanted to see that although our major goal is that bacteriophages can reduce the targeted pathogen, can kill the targeted pathogen in poultry, which was Salmonella and E. coli in our case. So our phages specifically targeted or killed those bacterial pathogens, but we also wanted to see if it would have any negative impact on growth performance, because if that would be the case, then probably no one would be interested, especially producers would not be interested in that too.
Sure, yeah.
So we found very good result in terms of that. We found that when we gave bacteriophages to chickens, they had like a better weight gain and feed conversion ratio, which was really good. So that was a positive aspect of our research. And we found that so bacteriophages can reduce the targeted pathogen, but it also kind of helping in growth performance for chickens.
Right.
Yeah. So there was one parameter and we found really good results for that. But again, as I'm talking that we are doing these animal trials, like we are doing these chicken trials, we are giving them phages. We want to use this as a like in that it could reduce those bad pathogens, but we also want to see that if it affect the gut normal microbes or not, because of course a gut microbiome is highly important for maintaining intestinal health system and immunity, and of course it has important role in growth performance parameters. So we also wanted to see if it affect that.
Yeah.
So we did some microbiome analysis, and interestingly, we found that unlike antibiotics, our bacteriophages strategies are the cocktails. They reduce the targeted pathogen, but they also help in supporting some of the gut microbiome, like some of the beneficial bacteria in gut that could be helpful in growth performance, because we are like connecting these, like how this could be, how this could work. So, and the kind of a little bit science behind that is because if there is like bad pathogens or if there are good pathogens, so there would be a competition for nutrients in the gut.
Sure. Yep.
So if we are reducing those bad pathogens specifically, then there would be more nutrients for the good one. And that could be utilized towards the better growth of chicken.
Right, right. Yeah. Very interesting.
So that's how like we compared the chickens that did not had bacteriophages. Like we did not give them bacteriophages. We had chickens. We give them different bacteriophages in, we give them in feed as well. And we found that, and it was like very, very small bead swarms that they could easily, it could be easily mixed in the feed, and it wouldn't have like, you know, any texture or any of those kind of issues because we encapsulate the phages.
Okay,
So that encapsulation also helps them to release a little longer in the in their system so that it could reach to the targeted site where there is pathogen, right? So in the respiratory tract or in the targeted site where there could be pathogen, it could slowly release. And we had like this kind of formulations of the bacteriophages that help to stay a while.
Right, right. Yeah, that was a question I had, because obviously, these phages have to maintain their structure integrity to be active. Yeah. And so the pelleting and all of that, which I don't know if these feeds were pelleted or not, but at least you have encapsulation to try to show that, you know, hey, we can get them into the bird, into the GI system, the target area in a viable form. So
yeah, so of course we tested bacteriophages in all the intestinal health conditions or all the like pH stability, temperature stability that was like tested in our lab. And then we ended up with these trials that, okay, this is all works. So hopefully it will work in the chickens, like in the live chickens too. So the encapsulation thing, the good thing about that was it was like, it helps to stay, it helps to keep bacteriophages in the chicken for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bacteriophages are like, you know, viruses. So if it's like a solution, if it's in a solution, or if we are giving these to chickens, so they could quickly act because they will find the bacteria, attach it, and like enter into the bacterial cell, hijack its machinery, and lyse the bacterial cell, and then the start, and then it releases new phage particles, and the cycle goes on. So that will work quickly, but if we need to reach out the other targeted sites and we want to, we want that bacteriophages could stay there in the chicken body for a while and it could reach the other targeted area, we had this encapsulated one.
Okay, yeah.
And interestingly, we also tested that the encapsulation material that we used, there was in our case sodium alginate. So we also checked that it also did not have any impact on any of those parameters. So we had like a control where we had that encapsulation material as a control. So like it's totally clear that that was a phage related impact on growth performance and on microbiome.
And you know, just to follow up on that, I mean, this is kind of a newer technology and, you know, in a category in various gut health categories that are out there. You know, we talk about prebiotics, probiotics, essential oils, or other phytogenics. So there's a lot of alternatives. How do you see these kind of, I guess, are they competing with some of these technologies or exclusive of those technologies or compatible? Or do you see opportunities for combinations that, that provide multiple benefits?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. And I see phages becoming part of this integrated poultry health system rather than replacing others.
Okay.
So because I think future poultry system will increasingly combine these approaches that you mentioned, like prebiotics, probiotics, precision nutrition, and microbiome targeted strategies. So I believe bacteriophages have this potential to become one of the component of that toolbox. It could be used in combination with any of these because it would specifically kill or target the pathogen. So this specificity will help the bacteriophages to use in combination with other, and it could be like a really good combination. It could have like really good impact while using these. So I think this would be one of those, of course, not replacing others. So it will be helpful ultimately towards this antimicrobial resistance issue, like to reduce that.
Your ag business didn't stall on the market. It stalled because everything roots through you. Pricing, hiring, the angry account. You're not leading the company, you're refereeing it. The Owner's Box is a peer group of 8 to 10 agribusiness owners with one agenda: get you out of daily operations and into the owner's seat. Monthly working sessions, real decisions, real commitments. Built by Wisenetics, the number one podcast network in animal protein. Apply for cohort 1 at the Owner's Box. Seats close when the room is full.
As you mentioned, I mean, this is a big opportunity for on the intestinal health and even performance side. I mean, at least in my experience, I've seen most of the interest and work around phages around, you know, food safety and those specific microorganisms. You talk about Salmonella, E. coli, but, you know, those same concepts can apply to, you know, Clostridium perfringens, for example, and other, you know, bacteria that we generally think about more from the performance and bird health versus you know, the food safety aspect. So it's interesting. You're on the cutting edge of this, I think.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. Because again, the good thing about phages is like for every bacteria, there would be a bacteriophage.
Right.
So
right.
If it's like Clostridium or if it's like any other pathogen, there are bacteriophages that you can work on, that you can isolate, develop, and like do formulations, things. It all depends on like how you want to see those phages, as a preventive, as a combination with other strategies. But yeah, so there are like a lot of potential that we can see in these bacteriophages and that we can work on. And one thing that I didn't mention was, and which is very important, was like the immune response that we also tested for the phages. And because we are giving these bunch of bacteriophages to the chickens, and chickens can take this something new, something foreign, and they could develop like their immune response, right? But interestingly, it didn't happen in our case. We checked that, and that could be because phages, because they are like everywhere, they are also in the chicken gut, but it's like in a very minimal number, not like the way that we are giving them. So sometimes it depends on phage structure. So for new phages, for new and that are targeting new pathogens, so we need to do like all these assessment in terms of their immune response, in terms of their structure. In our case, our phages did not like produce or did not result in any eliciting any immune response, but some phages it could be a different case. It depends on the administration route that you are using. So there was a good thing that our phages didn't have that, because this is very important for long-term implementation of these strategies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we are like looking for like IgM or IgG response, like for a number of days, we are giving these bunch of phages. So to have it a longer term impact, it was very important. So it was really good to see that our phages didn't have that kind of response. So to compile all these, I believe that this was, or this is a really good strategy that we can work on to, you know, overcome this antimicrobial resistance issue.
No, it sounds like it's a very promising and exciting technology, and certainly appreciate your work in this area. And I know we look forward to see where this goes. So thank you very much for sharing today.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for listening to another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform, and we will catch you on the next one.